Before we start here, would you join me in prayer, please? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for providing the place for us to meet, that we can study your word and have the freedom to do so. And Father, we continue to pray for those that are sick. We ask you to especially be with them and to comfort these people and to heal these people according to thy will. And Father, we ask you this morning to teach us your word by your spirit, to build us up in the faith, that we be a better witness for thee. And we ask you, Lord, to especially get honor and glory to yourself in this class. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. In Ephesians, you got to remember now, before we go to chapter 4, verse 8, that Paul is writing this letter to some Gentiles that are not in the covenants of promise. Okay? All Gentiles are not in the covenants of promise. These Gentiles got into the church, the body of Christ, by Paul preaching the mystery of the gospel. If I put it on the board like this here, here's where the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9. Paul wrote 6 epistles. And I'm not going to put them in order as he wrote them. You'll have Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You'll have the Galatian letter. You'll have the 1st and 2nd Thessalonian letter. That's 6 letters to those who first trusted in Christ. These Gentiles, Jew and Gentile, in the church, the body of Christ. They are baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. After Acts 18, the Lord appeared to Paul in the temple in Acts 18, and Paul writes this letter, Ephesians, to this group of people here, which are Gentiles. No Jew. You understand? This is strictly Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise. These Gentiles here were in the synagogue. Paul went in the book of Acts. After Acts 13, when Paul and Barnabas started preaching, they went into the synagogues of the Jews. For a Gentile, listen to me, for a Gentile to be in the synagogue, he had to be allied with Israel, and he would have been in the covenants of promise of Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you. These Gentiles blessed the seed of Abraham. These Gentiles over here, they worshipped idols. They worshipped a goddess they said fell down from out of the sky, and they built her a temple. And they worshiped the host of heaven, everything up there. They worshiped that. They were idol worshiping Gentiles. Now some of these Gentiles here worshiped idols, but they turned from that. Went in the synagogue where Paul was preaching, heard the word of that Jesus Christ had died at Calvary. And when he died at Calvary, he died for their sins, according to the scriptures. Paul couldn't tell these people in Ephesians chapter 4 that. When Paul spoke about these Gentiles here in Acts 22, this is Acts 18, and in Acts 22, Paul told those Jews that he was going to go to these Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise. Paul became a prisoner. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, why is he saying therefore? For the first 3 chapters, he's writing that to let these Gentiles know what they now have in Christ, all spiritual blessings. That they are blessed with all spiritual blessings they're in the same body with these believers here. You understand? Anybody got a question so far? Okay. Verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He did not say make unity. He said keep the unity. What is the unity? Anybody got any idea what the unity is? It's one new man out of these two groups of people here, Jew and Gentile in the body of Christ. Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise now have a hope. How? By the mystery of the gospel. That when Christ died at Calvary, he also died for their sins. Now, go to chapter 2 while we're on that. Chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. That our is these two groups of people here, Jew and Gentile. But you've got to remember that when these Jew and Gentile got baptized into the body of Christ, they lost their identity. You understand? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. By one Spirit are we, Jew and Gentile, all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentile. So when they are baptized into his body, they lose their identity. They lose their inheritance with Abraham. You understand? They lose that Abrahamic inheritance. They are not going to inherit the earth. All of these are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Now, in chapter 2, verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one. And how many years have I been told that that was Jew and Gentile? No, it's these two groups of people. These two groups of people. Hold your place and go to chapter 1. This is why Satan had to rewrite a new book. And he ain't finished yet. He's still writing new books. You know why? Because he gets caught up with it every now and then. And he says, well, you know, they're getting hot on our tail here. Now we're going to have to do something different here. And that's what they're doing, making a new translation. Now, Ephesians 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, comma, and to the faithful. Do you see the two groups of people there? Well, you know what Satan did with the verse. I'm going to read it like Satan's Bible reads it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, you see what I just did? I destroyed what God did. And there are millions and millions of people that are destroying God's word using his own word. Now, go back to chapter 2. Verse 14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. What did he do with them? He nailed them to his cross, is what he did. Now, what did he do when he did that? Verse 15. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. And the world says that he made the Jew and the Gentile. No, he did not. The Jew and the Gentile is already in the body of Christ. These Gentiles here are now allied with these here who first trusted in Christ, and he's made one new man out of the two groups of people. Those who first trusted, in whom ye also trusted. Beloved, that's why Satan is changing his Bible and leaving out the nouns and the pronouns. We don't talk like that no more. We, thee, thou. Well, God does. This is a modern book. You know, I heard, I don't remember who it was on television say something about, I wish I'd lived in the days of the Bible. You don't want to live back here. We were just talking about this before class, how bloody this book is. If you'd have got it, and beloved, I wouldn't be here. God would have told the leaders, zap that fella, he ain't fit to live. Cut his head off. Kill his wife, kill his kids. Kill everything he's got. If he's got any animals, kill them. No, you don't want to live back here. But what's the matter with, ain't this a modern book?
Yeah.
It's up to date. Let's see if we can figure this thing out. Go back to chapter 4 now. Verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity. Well, the unity has been made between these two groups of people. One new man. So my job is to keep it. God made the unity through the Spirit, baptizing these groups of people into one body. Now my job is to keep that unity. Okay? Now, in the bond of peace, verse 4, there is one body. How many bodies?
One.
When did the body start?
Acts 9.
I can't hear all of y'all now. Y'all know I'm deaf.
Acts 9.
We got Acts 9. Anybody else got a different opinion? Some people say it started back in the Garden of Eden. Some of them say it started here in Acts 2. Some of them say it started in Matthew chapter 16. Upon this rock I build my church. Y'all remember we studied that. Who is the first member in the church, the body of Christ?
Paul.
Do you know where you can find that? I mean, listen, if you confront some John Doe out there on the street and you tell him that Paul's the first in the body of Christ, he's going to look at you kind of funny. You know why? He's going to think Jesus Christ is the first. And you know, I'm not going
to.
Is Jesus Christ the head of the body? Would the head come first or the body comes first? Are y'all thinking? Paul is the first member in the body of Christ. Who is the body? It's Christ. Christ was resurrected in AD 33, wasn't he? What did he do? All right, let's do it like this. We're gonna get to just answer that, Walter, in just a minute. Here's the cross. Jesus Christ died. And by the way, this is coming up week after next, according to, not me now, according to the religious system. You're going to have Good Friday week, right? So Jesus Christ went to Calvary and he died, shed his blood. They put him in a tomb. He left that tomb, went down in the heart of the earth. There are people down there in the heart of this earth under your feet. Some of them in torment. Some of them screaming down there. Some of them need a drop of water on their tongue to cool their tongue off. Some of them down there asleep. I ain't got the foggiest idea what's going on. They sleep in Abraham's bosom. Some of them down there is screaming and hollering. I imagine Russell probably read the article or knows about the article about some people that were drilling. And you can't drill it so far, it gets so hot it melts your drill tubes. Ain't right, Russell? It's a fire down there in the heart of this earth. And it's called hell. According to Deuteronomy chapter 32, there's more than one compartment in hell. God's vengeance will burn to the lowest hell. Now, I don't know how low that is. In hell is hell. There's flames all over it. So anyway, Jesus Christ went down there. As Jonah, Jesus Christ said, as Jonah were 3 days and three nights in the belly of a whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Check it out in Matthew. That's what he told them. So he left here. He went down. When he went down, he stayed down there 3 days and three nights. And I'm not going to go through this with you again this year, but you know that there are 12 hours in a day, there are 24 hours in a day and a night, and there are 72 hours in 3 days and three nights, and it is mathematically impossible. You can't even do it with a computer. You can't do it with a slide rule or any kind of electronic gimmick to get 72 hours from Friday evening at 6 o'clock till Sunday morning at 6 o'clock. It's impossible. And the world says he's crucified on Friday evening and resurrected Sunday morning. They ain't 36 hours in there. Check it out. Give me your computer and see if you can get 72 hours from Friday at 6 p.m. That's when they put him in the grave, until Sunday at 6 a.m. sunrise. Sunrise? Sunrise service? Y'all know anybody that worship the sun? Yeah. So, he's down there 3 days and three nights, and what does he do? He comes back up. I tell you what, dude. Look at verse 8. While we're here, I'm going to skip through some of this stuff here to get to verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high. When did he ascend up on high?
Rose from the dead.
Do y'all remember? There are three crosses. Two thieves with him, murderers, that died the same time he did. One of them said, remember me when thou comest in thy power, in thy kingdom. Jesus Christ said, this day will thou be with me in paradise. Where did he go? You got the next verse. Look at the next verse. He that descended. I'm looking at verse 10. I apologize. You need to skip the parentheses. Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now go to verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first? Listen, when he told that man, he said, this day will thou be with me in paradise. Where did he go that day? He went down. You understand? So in his resurrection, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. What are the gifts? We talked about this before class even. I mean, you know, this thing just fascinates me. It blows my mind. We used to ride to Fairhope on Thursday nights to Brother Moore's class. And we'd be discussing scriptures on the way over. And somebody would ask a question. And before we could answer it, we'd be there to the class. And I wish I had recordings. I cannot tell you how many times that took place. Go in there and sit down, and that question would be answered in that class. Verbatim, as it was asked. time and time again. Somebody, I forget who it was, it might have been Ron, went with me one night or whatever, he went several nights, said, do you call him and tell him what we talk about? Or do you go in the back room and I'll go, when I go in, I sit down. I don't go to Brother Moore and I'll speak at him from the back. But I don't go in there and tell him what we talked about going over there. And verbatim, he would answer them questions. Night after night after night, it would work. That's the leadership of the Spirit. Now, go to Psalms 68, whole of Ephesians. I think this is where we need to go. Psalms 68. Let's see if we can find out what this is. This is, it'll ascend it and descend it. In Psalm 68. I'm gonna start in verse 1, and I'm not gonna read all of it, but I'm gonna skip around a little bit. Psalm 68, verse 1. Let God arise. Arise from what? Huh? Y'all, you listen, don't lose sight of the fact that Paul said God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. God Himself. God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. John said this, God is a spirit. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. And when you get over here on the other side of the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, you come to the Hebrew epistles, those in the tribulation. In Hebrews, he said, a body hast thou prepared for me. A body for what? For God. The Spirit of God. You understand? Now, let God arise. Let His enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him, as smoke is driven away. So drive them away, as wax melteth before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. And beloved, they will someday. You understand? They will. Now, for time's sake, verse 11. The Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Beloved, these words right here, people in the publishing business ought to read them. They ought to get on their knees. They ought to pray to God and see that they are printing Satan's books for Satan. You know why they're doing it?
Money.
The love of money is the root of all evil. They don't give a flip whether they call somebody's soul to go to hell or a whole group of people to go to hell. They don't care. All they worried about is how much money they get out. I was listening to that dumb old Richard Roberts yesterday. That's the dumbest. That character, I don't know how in the world anybody supports him to stay on television. He's holding up some kind of paper he's reading off of or something there. And he said, I was in a restaurant sitting over there and the Lord told me to. And I just. The Lord talked to him while he was sitting in a restaurant. Ain't that a joke? Beloved, if you don't read this 1611 King James Bible, God don't talk to you. And don't think God's going to talk to you out of the NIV. He ain't in it. Now, you may find some good in it, but God ain't in it. You understand? They do print some truth in it. But they got lies in it. So where are you going to draw the line? Nevertheless, verse 11, the Lord gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. Come to verse 17. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them, as in Sinai, in the holy place. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also. Huh? Oh, I hope you can see this.
Yeah.
Hold your place and go back with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Oh, this is so wonderful. And I'm going to start in verse 8 and I'm going to go through. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Do you know where he went? He went above all heavens. Now listen, get a grip on it. Don't worry about whether you understand it or not, but believe it. Go to chapter 2. Chapter 2. Verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with him. Huh? All right. What does he say here? Look at it. Verse 6. Well, excuse me, verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. Verse 6. And hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where is Christ Jesus at? He's above all heavens. Let's just say this is the last heaven that we know about. God is above that. Where am I at this moment? I'm above all of that. Why? I'm in Christ. And you know what Paul told you in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10? You are complete in Him. If you are complete in Christ, you don't need to get in some kind of line to take some wafer to have Christ in you. Because if you ain't got Christ in you, taking a wafer or a cracker or whatever they call that thing, Christ will not come in you. You understand me? I don't care who they are. Whoever they are, it don't make me no difference. Christ in you, the hope of glory. How do you get Christ in you? By the gospel of Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. All Greeks are Gentiles, but all Gentiles ain't Greeks. You understand? So, if Christ is in you, you're complete in Him. And when Jesus Christ was resurrected in AD 33, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now listen to me. Those who first trusted in Christ, those six books that He wrote right here, they had spiritual gifts. Gift of knowledge, gift of speaking in tongues, gift of healing, helps, governments, all kind of gifts. You can find them in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, 14, all along in there. Speaking in tongues. And beloved, the speaking in tongues in your Bible is not some kind of jibber-jabber. It is speaking in a language. And that just... I have to stop and calm down every now and then. This thing excites me. This book excites me. It's the only thing that I can put my hand on that I can put my confidence in and say, this is true.
Amen.
I can't go over here and pick this book out right here and tell you that everything in that book right there is true. You understand me? Somebody might have made a mistake when they transferred it off of paper into that book. God did not make no mistake when He preserved His Word for me. So if I pick up a book that's got a mistake in it, it goes to the garbage, don't it, Alan?
Yes, sir.
Goes to the garbage. Right where it belongs. I was going to give it to somebody else. And I told Alan, I said, if it ain't no good for you, why would it be good for somebody else?
Yeah.
Garbage can.
He throwed it in the garbage.
Yeah. Your attitude has to do with a lot of what you believe. Do you really believe God is?
Yeah.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6, you don't have to turn now. I'll tell you what it says. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, where are you going to seek God? You're going to go to some temple? God does, he told you twice in the book of Acts, chapter 7 and chapter 17, God dwelleth not in buildings made with hands. Great is the company that published it. I bought three brand new 1611 King James Bible yesterday for this class. Anybody need one, you're welcome to it. They're free. They don't cost you nothing. $10 a piece. $10. You can't beat that. That's the best $10 you'll ever invest in your life. And when it tears up, go get you another one. And by the way, I got a $1.66 discount when I got to the cash register. I don't know what that was about, but I took it.
Because you're
the
age.
I've been old. Might have been old age. Oh, back to chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, what are these gifts in Ephesians chapter 4 here? And I'm going to go to verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens. Well, we ascended up with him. You understand? In Christ. A spiritual term. We ascended up with him above all heavens. Now, verse 11, and he gave some apostles. Some men he gave apostles. You understand? Some he gave prophets. Some evangelists. Some pastors. Some teachers. I believe we're down to the teachers. All pastors are not teachers. They ought to be. They ought to be. Paul warned us in the last days, perilous times are coming. And if you don't believe they're perilous, you just pick up the newspaper, turn on the TV, watch the news. If you got a computer, watch what's going on the computer. Watch worldwide, not just Mobile, worldwide situations in this world. And if you don't think they're getting worse and worse and worse, you ain't looking straight ahead. You got your head in a hole like an ostrich. It's serious. But the seriousness is, ain't what's happening in the world, it's what's happening against God Almighty and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, what He accomplished at Calvary for us. Because there are not many preachers that are keeping the unity of the faith. And there are not many people or preachers, even grace preachers, that are rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is the gospel of our salvation. So Paul's gospel has to be right. Now, I don't want to draw no line between here and there because that ain't right division. The gospel has to be divided. In other words, Paul, I can't talk and write at the same time. Paul's gospel has to be rightly divided. You know why? He took the gospel to these people here that Christ had died for their sins according to the scriptures. Not so with us over here. Ephesians 1:13. Christ did not die for my sins according to scriptures. He died for my sins according to the mystery that was revealed to the apostle Paul. And beloved, that mystery was hid in God. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. What is my job? Verse 9. Make all men see what the fellowship of the mystery. Not what is the mystery, but the fellowship of. Y'all know what fellowship is? It's being in unity. It's being in agreement. You can't have fellowship with somebody if you're not in agreement with them. You know what you have to do? You have to do what Paul told us in Romans chapter 12. If possible, live peaceably with all men. Well, it ain't possible for me to live peaceably with all men. So you know what I have to do? I have to avoid them. Watch what he says here. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Well, what am I supposed to make men see? Something. What am I to make them see? This fellowship. What is this fellowship? Go back to chapter 1. Verse 12. That we, those who first trusted in Christ, Ephesians 1:12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, He didn't say those who first believed on Christ. You understand? Because there's people that believed on Jesus Christ, the name of Christ, before Paul was ever saved. Paul was persecuted in those people. Now, verse 13, in whom ye, Paul ain't included in that. Paul's included in those who first trusted in Christ. Look at the terminology. Verse 12, that we, writer included. Verse 13, in whom ye, writer not included. Any of you in here know anything about English? That ought to explain something to you right there. We and ye ain't the same. You understand? In whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. The gospel of our salvation? No. The gospel of your salvation. The ones he's writing the letter to show them, hey, they've been resurrected with Christ, the same as those who first trusted in Christ. Those that were in the covenants of promise, these had no hope until Paul preached the mystery of the gospel. Now my job is to keep that unity and make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Chapter 3, verse 9. Go back to chapter 3, verse 9. Make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God. He didn't say it was hid in the scriptures, did he? Go to Acts chapter 17. I shared this verse with some of y'all. I don't remember who it was before class. You see, I read an article about a man that wrote an article trying to prove what right division is. And he said Paul got the dispensation of the grace of God in between Acts 9 and Acts 15. Not so. No way, Jose. I'm going to show you in Acts 17 that he's still using the Old Testament scriptures. In Acts 17, verse 1. Now when that's Paul and Silas and Timothy. You'll find them in verse 14 in here. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollyon, they came to Thessalonica, was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them. Where did he go? In the synagogue. Jew and Gentile in there. And three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. Well, he didn't reason with him out of Romans to Philemon. He hadn't wrote all of that yet. He took the Old Testament Scriptures, proved to these people that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures. Well, go back to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9. Make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God. Well, if I can take the Old Testament Scriptures and show you where you're in the covenants of promise, that ain't hid in God, is it? Now, go back to chapter 4 again. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. What for? For the perfecting of the saints. The saints need to be perfected.
Yes, sir.
They sure do. And I miss my Thursday night Bible teacher some kind of bad. I sure do. I told that man over and over and over that if I went to him because of his attitude, I would never come back. I told him, he knew that. I told him that to his face. I didn't talk behind his back. I told myself, if I come over here for your attitude, I would never come back. But you know, after 40 some odd years of dealing with knuckleheads, it'll give you an attitude. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now listen to me. Coming unto the knowledge of this unity here ain't this unity that he made back here. Go back to chapter 4, verse 4. Verse 3, I apologize. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. What did the unity of the Spirit do? It united these two groups of people here, the saints and the faithful in Christ Jesus, into one body. You understand? There's one body, one faith, one baptism. Which baptism is it? You see, there are several different baptisms practiced today. They even take little babies and they ain't got no idea they even in the stinking world yet, and they baptize them. Come on, you gotta be kidding me. That little baby don't know squat. No, the unity of the Spirit is the spiritual baptism of these two groups of people here. But to come in unto the, go to verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of what? The faith. You understand? What is the faith? Go to chapter 6. Go to chapter 6. Verse 18. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, beloved, I'd be a nut to tell you from Acts chapter 9, and this is written after Acts 28, that Paul hadn't been preaching the gospel of Christ. What's he trying to do? He's trying to preach to these people here something. Go to chapter 4 of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. I want you to remember that right here, because I'm going to show you the opposite of this in the Gospels. In the so-called Gospels that people believe in following today. Now, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray, God, that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles, all Gentiles, might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Go to Luke chapter 12. Did Paul say somebody withstood his words?
Yes.
If I can find it. Didn't I tell y'all chapter 12?
Yes.
What a lie again. Go to chapter 21. That's where it's at. It ain't in 12. It's in chapter 21. Now, in Luke 21 is about the tribulation. It's about the rapture of the church is already... Well, that looks terrible. The rapture of the church has already taken place. We're gone. The church of body of Christ is out of here. God deals with Israel in the tribulation. Luke 21 is tribulation. We're out of here. The rapture of the church has took place. The Antichrist has been revealed. We're stopping him from being revealed now. The Lord deals with Israel in Hebrews through Revelations. Romans to Philemon is gone, no more. That dispensation is over with. It's out here. So, this is the time he's talking about in Luke 21 here now. Go to verse 11. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall it be from heaven. You know why there'll be signs from heaven? Did I give y'all a bad reference? You know why there'll be signs in heaven? The Jews require signs. That's why the signs again back over here. Signs from Matthew back. You understand? Paul did signs and wonders to those who first trusted in Christ because of the Jews. But when he got the further revelation, no more signs, no more healing power. Now, this is tribulation time here now. Go to, for time's sake, verse 12. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogue and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. It shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. Well, we know that's contrary to what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Paul said, till I come, give attendance to reading, exhortation, and all. He said, meditate upon these things. In other words, if you don't meditate on the Word of God, and especially right divided, you ain't going to have no answer for people out there when you talk to them. You understand? Okay. Now, verse 14, settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what you shall answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Huh? That is contrary to what... Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at it. Paul said this man withstood him, resisted him. Verse 15, of whom is Alexander, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. So you know the dispensation ain't the same there. But that ain't right dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth is dividing Paul's gospel from those that was hid in the scriptures, from those that was hid in God. You understand? We got saved by the mystery of the gospel. Now, go back to Ephesians. Well, I tell you, before you go to Ephesians, go to Colossians chapter 4. We're pretty close there. Verse 2 of Colossians 2. Did I tell you Colossians 2? Colossians 2, verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open to us a door of utterance.
4, verse 2.
Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, ain't that what I told you? What'd I tell you?
2 and 2.
Don't pay no attention. Y'all know your Bible, you know where I'm at. Alright, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Boy, if I had any sense, I'd be dangerous. I usually sometimes I go to the store and get something. I don't do it too often. My wife is most shopping. You know, I don't shop for the house. I just shop for myself sometimes. But the lady will save, that's $4.22. And I say, well, I got $4. And I think I got some change. I ain't got no sense at all, but I may have some change. I ain't got no sense. Chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at let's go to verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And I know this is a bishop. This is a man that's desiring the office of a bishop. Now, he's verse 6, not a novice. In other words, he's got to be well equipped and well read, thoroughly furnished. Now, verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to any wine, nor... I thought I could slide that by you, but... You old bunch of wino. You ever been drunk on wine?
Yeah.
Or don't? I have. It ain't a foreign feeling. I don't do it no more. I have been in time past. That's before the Lord took all that away from me. Stop it. Verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filth and lucre. In other words, you don't do this for money. You understand? It's not for money. Verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. I was a deacon in a grace church for many a year with other deacons, and they ain't nary another one of them deacons was ever tried to see if he qualified to be a deacon. Ain't that something? You got deacons in churches, they ain't got the foggiest idea of what that verse means right there. Holding the mystery of the faith. What is the mystery of the faith? When Christ died at Calvary, he also died for Gentiles such as us and me in the world that are not in the covenants of promise. I don't have to put them in the covenants of promise. I don't have to make them sheep to get God's salvation to them. All I got to do is preach the gospel of Christ to them and get them saved. Then they can come unto the knowledge of the truth. God would have all men to be saved. God would have you to be saved here this morning if you're sitting here and you don't know of a time in your life that you ever trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Now, you may have walked the aisle, you may have got baptized, you may have repented of your sins, and you may still be repenting of your sins, but if you ain't never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you are sitting here lost as the day you were born. And you know where lost people go? When they die, they go to hell. There ain't no question about it. They go straight to hell. When saved people die, they go to sleep in Christ. God abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He didn't bring that through the gospel that he preached in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He brought that through the gospel that he committed to the Apostle Paul. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul is our apostle. Paul is the man we follow. Go back to Ephesians chapter 4 and I'm going to quit. I don't know if I've hoped you in there or not, but there we are. Now, I want you to know the terminology here. Did Paul say he was in bonds for preaching the mystery of the gospel? You know where he went into bonds? From his life on? From Acts chapter 22 on to the end of Paul's life, he was a prisoner for us Gentiles. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. How were you called? You got any idea how God called you? Did he call you by the gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
You sure about that?
Yes.
What about John 3:16? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know why John 3:16 is in your Bible? To prove to you where Israel's at. According to the parables, Israel is scattered in the world. God so loved the world. Why? His children, Israel, were scattered in the world. He wants to regather them. That's why Jesus Christ said he came seeking to save that which is lost. Lost of who? The lost sheep of the house of Israel, beloved. Jesus Christ is not your apostle. Peter is not your apostle. If you're following the ministry of Peter, you're following the wrong ministry. And there are thousands of people that believe that Peter is their apostle. That's why you get articles on YouTube or whatever they call that thing that this man read, that Paul is a crook. More or less an antichrist. Why? They don't understand their Bible. They're not being trained. They're not being taught. But you know what your problem is? It ain't just 1 hour a week. You need to go home and study. In your spare time, instead of watching soap operas, study. Study to see if God really meant what he said. See if what God said is true. Romans to Philemon, read it. Several pages. Romans to Philemon, read it every day. Do like a preacher told me, read it backwards. You ever read your Bible backwards? Try it sometime. Start out with the last book that Paul got in his epistles in Philemon. And read Philemon, then come back to Titus, 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy, read it backwards. Be surprised what you might see. Challenge you to try that sometime. I've done it that way. You can see how this dispensation that we're in now, you can see where it ceases. Check it out and see. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. One last thing, and I'm going to quit. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That clock up there, I didn't start on that one. I started on mine. That's like the little old boy, little Catholic boy and little Baptist boy. They went to church at different times. They swap out and all. The little Baptist boy went to the Catholic church and they was doing their thing. And the little Baptist boy said, what's he doing? And he would explain to him what he was doing. And the little Catholic boy next Sunday went to the Baptist church with the little Baptist boy. Preacher got up in, he took his watch off and laid it on the pulpit. Then that little Catholic boy asked him, he said, what's that mean? He said, I don't mean a thing. Lord, he wasn't going to quit on time anyway, so I'm running over it now. All right. And, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Beloved, you were called by Paul's gospel. Not by the gospel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not by Peter's gospel. You were called by Paul's gospel. Beloved, when Jesus Christ ascended up, he carried me with him. You understand? I went with him, and I'm above all heavens. I appreciate you being here this morning. You've been most kind and patient. It's good to see all of you.